Now, this morning in the book of 2 Kings, I invite your attention to the 7th chapter, 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 9. Second Kings chapter 7 and verse 9. I shall read that one verse after we pause in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, again we deliver ourselves to Thee. We confess to Thee that without Thee we are nothing, and pray that Thou wouldst take complete and absolute control of this service, of this hour, of this reading, of this preaching of Thy Word. And we pray that some precious soul might come to Christ, someone who needs to come and unite with the fellowship of the church, some who need to come and surrender by baptism into this fellowship, or some by letter or statement, some who need to come and just offer themselves again, afresh and anew, to Thee. May Thy will be done, and may Christ be honored, is our prayer in Jesus' name, and for His sake, and with thanksgiving. Amen. Now, 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 9. Then said they one to another, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household, 'We do not well.'" That is the topic of my message this morning. We do not well. This is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. Surely, if we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come to us. I do not know of a story that is more fitting for the Thanksgiving season than the story that surrounds my text this morning. Here it is. Israel was at war with her enemy, Syria. There was a very intense famine in the land of Israel and in the city of Samaria, the capital of Israel. At this point, Jehoram was the king of Israel. It was about 892 or 3 BC. And encamped around the city of Samaria, the capital of Israel, was the mighty army of the Syrians. They had succeeded in cutting off the food supply to the city. The famine was so intense and the food was so scarce that women boiled their children and ate them in the days of this famine. At the gate of the city, there sat 4 leprous men. They looked at each other. They saw the lights at dusk in the tents of the army of Syria. They looked within their city and saw the terrible condition. And they said, "Why do we sit here and die? If we go in the city, we'll die of starvation. If we sit here, we'll die of starvation. Why don't we just desert and give ourselves into the hands of our enemy? If we live, we live. if we die, we're going to die anyhow. So they decided that they would go and give themselves over to the enemy. And in the meanwhile, God had caused a noise that the Bible says was a noise like many chariots and many horsemen. And the Syrians became so frightened. Not a shot was fired, not an arrow was flung, not a shout was made from the army of Israel. But the Syrians got so scared that they ran and left their tents and left their horses and left their gold and silver and their food, because God had sent a mighty noise among them to frighten them. And these four lepers, when they came to the first tent of the enemy of Syria, they ate and they ate and they ate until they were totally satisfied. Then they gathered silver and gold and changes of clothes and armaments out of that tent and took them over and hid them near the city wall. And then they went back into the second tent and they did the same thing, and they filled themselves and they hid the armaments. And then one of them said to the other three, "We do not well. This is the day of good tidings. We ought to go back and spread the news among our people. Let's not be selfish. Let us not be filled in our stomachs and our people go hungry. We do not well. If we remain here like this, before the morning light comes, mischief will befall us. Let's go back and tell the king's household that there's plenty to eat." And they did. And all of Samaria and all of Israel had plenty because four men recognized they were doing the wrong thing by having a good thing and not being willing to share it with somebody else. We do not well, for this day is a day of good tidings, and we just sit and keep quiet about it. We hold our peace. If we wait till the morning light, some mischief will befall us. Could I draw a striking parallel from that story to us this morning? This day of grace, this day of opportunity, this day of light, this day of hope, this day of salvation is a day of good tidings for us. We do not well if we do not tell others about what we have in the Lord Jesus. And if we fail to do so, some evil might fall upon us. I have taken from those words, "we do not well," three thoughts basically that I want to share with you on this Thanksgiving Sunday. First, I submit to you that we do not well if we fail to share the blessings of God with those who are less fortunate than we are. There is a Persian proverb that goes like this: "The Lord God will not ask thy birth or thy race, but when thou comest to heaven, he will demand of thee what thou did while on earth." Jesus said to his disciples on one occasion, "Freely ye have received, freely give." The two go together. We who have freely received must also freely give. And we do not well today if we fail to share the blessings of God with those who are less fortunate than we are. We do not well to have while there are others about us who do not have. Is it not written in the Word of God that if a man sees his brother in need and closes up his bowels of mercy, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Ladies and gentlemen, the name of the game is sharing Christ with others. And we do not well if we do not share what God has given to us with those who are less fortunate than we are. I read a very moving story this week. A group of young people had been to a picnic, and they had stuffed themselves, as young people will do, with hot dogs and hamburgers and pizzas and all the trimmings. And on the way home, someone suggested, just to top it off, let's stop and get a big ice cream cone. And so they pulled up in front of the drugstore and they bounded out of the car. And one young girl said to the others, well, I'm so full now, I just don't think I can eat an ice cream cone. Oh, come on, they said. So she went, purchased the cone, came back into the car, and as they sat there, they started eating. And this young lady took about two bites off the cone, and she said, I cannot eat it. And out the window it went, and into the street, and parked in an old dilapidated car right by theirs was a little ragged, unkempt, pitiful looking boy of about 7 or 8 years of age. And the girl said she could see in his eyes the desire of his heart. Oh, if I just had one bite of that ice cream cone. And she bounded out of that car and back into the drugstore she went and bought a double dip and a big red ball and gave it to the ragged, dirty, unkempt boy in the car next to theirs. And that began a turning point in her life. A little while later, she testified in a public testimony meeting. The hungry look in that boy's eyes, she said, made me realize that I had something that was worth far more than a 10-cent ice cream cone. I had Christ. And I had not been sharing the message of salvation. And since that experience, I've wanted to tell everybody what Christ has done for me. And friends, that's what it's all about. You and you and you and you and me telling others what Christ has done for us. You see, Jesus said, ye shall be witnesses. Now let me ask you a sane, sensible question. What does a witness do? He does not get up in the courtroom and argue. He does not get up and give a scientific dissertation. He does not get up and draw on his resources of philosophy or education or learning. He simply tells what he knows. There are some people who think before they can go out and witness for Christ, they've got to learn 39 verses of Scripture and 14 easy steps on how to lead somebody to Christ. Not so. A witness tells what he knows. And you and I know what Christ has done for us. And we have an opportunity to give away more than a 10-cent cone of ice cream. If that's the need, give it. If it's a basket of groceries, give it. If it's a suit of clothes, give it. But most of all, tell them what Christ means to you. We do not well if we do not share the blessings of God with those who are less fortunate than we are. In the second place, we do not well if we fail to discover a foretaste of heaven while still on earth. We do not well if we do not discover a foretaste of heaven while still on earth. A wealthy businessman met his pastor on Monday morning. They smiled and exchanged their greetings, and the businessman said to the pastor, "Pastor, that was a magnificent, marvelous sermon on heaven yesterday. Why, we sat in rapt attention and our hearts were thrilled as you preached on heaven." And with a twinkle in his eye, he said, "But Pastor, you never did tell us where heaven is." And the pastor said, "I'm glad you brought that up. You see that cottage over yonder on the hill? There lives there a widow who is a member of our church, yours and mine. And she is sick. She is parching with fever. Her children are about her, sick. It is winter. They are cold. They have not in the cupboard a morsel of food. They have not in the coal bin a shovel of coal. They have not even a pail of milk or a bag of flour or even a bucket of water." Now, if you will go and buy some wood and buy some coal and build a fire and bring in some groceries and some milk and flour and drugs and things that they need, and you go and tell that poor widow why you are there, and then take out your Bible and read the 23rd Psalm, and then kneel by her bed and pray for that family, if you don't find out where heaven is, I'll foot the bill myself. And the next day, he saw the pastor again. And the pastor said, "Well, did you find out where heaven is?" He related his experience. "I went to the grocery store and I bought a bill of groceries. And I went to the coal bin and I got out a bucket of coal. And I went to the dairy and I got milk. And I went to the market and I got meat." He said, "You know, I went to that house and I distributed those things. And I took out my Bible and I read, 'The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.'" Then, he said, "I got down on my knees by that dirty and unkept bed. First, I prayed that God would do something to me. Then I prayed for these precious children and that widow." And he said, "You know, Pastor, I spent 30 minutes in heaven yesterday." I want to say to you this morning that heaven is where you can be a blessing to somebody else. A cup of water, a glass of milk, a bucket of coal, a cruse of oil, a warm blanket, a kind word, a verse of scripture, a prayer. And you will discover a foretaste of heaven while you're still on earth. We do not well if we do not so discover. And then finally, this morning, we do not well if we fail to speak a good word for the Lord Jesus. Oh, there's good news this morning. I remember when I was growing up, we didn't have television. We all gathered around the radio and especially in the evening broadcast of the news. And I can hear that voice as though it were today. Gabriel Heda, there's good news tonight. And we listened carefully because we wanted to hear the news that the war had come to an end, that our boys would come back home, that wives would have husbands again, and children would have daddies again, and mothers would have sons. Oh, but I know a better story than Gabriel Heda ever broadcast. There is good news today. The Savior has come. He has lived and died among men. He has given his life to save us from our sins. There's good news today. The gospel of redeeming grace. And I speak now a good word for Jesus. He is the Savior of all men. He is the light in the midst of darkness. He is the hope in the midst of despair. He is life in the midst of death. He is eternity in the midst of time. He died on Calvary's cross to save every member of Adam's race. That's the best news I know anything about. But let me just add one word. He's coming back again. He went away, but not to stay. He's coming back again. One of these days, all wars will cease. And all poverty will end. And all sorrow and heartache will be a thing of the past. And Christ shall reign upon the earth. We do not well this morning if we do not speak a good word for Christ. His name was John, a young boy, Scotch boy. His mother, a widow, lay dying. She called her son to her bedside and she said, "John, my God has been so good to me. He has seen me through all of these years that your daddy has been gone. He will see me to the end." And she gave John some personal possessions of hers that she wanted him to have. And she said, "John, when God speaks to you, don't refuse him. Don't turn him away. Trust him. And John, when God calls you to preach, the end of the ministry, don't refuse him. When God gives you a cross to bear, don't refuse to bear it, because he always takes the heavy end himself. And John, when I get to heaven, Daddy and I'll be waiting for you. And when you preach your first sermon in yonder's home church, don't forget to speak a good word for Jesus." And soon death came, and that was her final word. And John went off in his own way to enter his own business of life, but God spoke to him, and God saved him, and God called him into the ministry. And let me say to you this morning that, humanly speaking, I stand as your pastor before you, as a preacher of the gospel. I stand in answer to a mother's prayer that God would call her son into the ministry. And John went away to seminary and came back. And his aunt was living in the old hometown, so he stayed with her before he preached his first message in the old country church. And he had his sermon all written out. And he said to his aunt, "Do you mind listening to my sermon? I want to make sure that it's right and good." And so he read his sermon all the way through. And his aunt said, "John, do you remember what Sister said to you before she died? when you preach your first sermon, say a good word about Jesus. And John, I don't see it in that sermon. And John just tore up that transcript of that sermon, threw it away, and started all over. And the first sermon that he preached, he made sure that he said a good word for Jesus. And that was the beginning of a great ministry, because a young preacher said a good word for Christ. And that's what it's all about for us today. And we do not well if we fail to speak a good word for Him. An army officer had been examined by all the army doctors, and he had been told that he had only 6 months to live. And so they discharged him and sent him home. He went to his family physician, and the family doctor said, "But, sir, you don't have but 1 month to live." And in just 5 weeks, he died. And the family, a few days after the funeral, found his personal diary. And he had made several entries. One, he said, "I passed by a clothing store and saw a beautiful suit. And I started to buy it, but then I said to myself, what does a man who is going to die in 30 days need with a new suit? I received an invitation to attend a banquet in another city, but I refused it. And I said, what does a man who has only 30 days to live, why would he want to go to a banquet? And I purchased a Bible, and I thought I would read it and learn how I could be prepared to die. And then he said, I went to two churches, but neither of the preachers told me about Christ. Now," he said, writing in his diary, "I'm in a neighboring city. I'm spending the night in a hotel. The morning after, the bootblack, the shoeshine boy, came to my room, and I hired him to shine my shoes. And I said to him, son, what do you think a man ought to do that doesn't have but 30 days to live? And the bootblack said, why, sir, the first thing you ought to do is get ready to go. And he said, but son, that's just it. I don't know how to get ready to go. I've never had anybody to tell me how to get ready to go. And the bootblack said, sir, I's ready to go. And if you'll listen to me, I'll tell you how you can be ready to go. All you've got to do is put your trust in the Lord Jesus, just like I did, and you'll be ready to go." And shining away on the boots, he said, "Mister, if you really mean business, would you get down on your knees by the bed with me?" And that army colonel said, about halfway down, I looked at that boy and I said, "You suppose it's worth it all?" He said, "Why, sure, there's not but one way, and that's to trust Jesus." And they prayed. And the army colonel got up and looked at that boy and he said, "Young man, I'm trusting now the same Savior you're trusting. I don't have any fear to die. I'm ready to go." Why? Because one little bootblack, one little shoeshine boy, said a good word for Jesus. If he can do it, pray tell me why we can't. We do not well if we do not speak a good word for Jesus. I have a footnote and then I'm through. We do not well if we do not give thanks to God on this Thanksgiving Sunday. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thy transgressions, who healeth all thy sicknesses, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. We do not well if we fail to give thanks in this Thanksgiving season. Let us stand for our prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we truly thank Thee for Thanksgiving and that we have something to be thankful for all along the highway of life. There are people who need a good word from us. All along the highway of life, there are people who need a helping hand, a word of encouragement and strength. May we speak a good word for Jesus. May we get a foretaste of heaven while we're still on earth. And may we share with those who are less fortunate than we are. Is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.